This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we finish up, for the time being, in the Psalter with the rest of Psalm 106, do a quick swing into the New Testament with 3 John, and then back to Proverbs. Gather us, fellow workers for the truth, the righteous is delivered, a man of understanding remains silent, and the desire of the righteous. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth shall declare your praise. For it is to the Father, as to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be.
The Lord has redeemed his people. Redeemed his people. Thank you.
reading from Hebrews chapter 2. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. It's Hebrews 2:10. And it begins with, it was fitting, eprepen. That is, it is meet, right, and salutary. It was proper. It was fitting to who God the Father is and what God the Father is like that Jesus, the eternal Son of the Father, the founder, the leader, the pioneer of our salvation, the archegon tes soterias, to make this Jesus perfect, whole, and complete, teleosai, through suffering, pathematon, through what he endured, for your sake. Or in other words, we might say that the road to glory, this path towards perfection, comes only through the cross. And then we hear you, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Dear saints of God, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. What goes for Jesus goes for you. He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source, the letter says. And that one source, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, finds perfection through suffering. Therefore, St. James teaches us, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Count it all joy. The weakness of the flesh, the burden of your vocations, the corruption, upside-down way of this world, the temptations of the devil, count it all joy. Joy because they are Christ's sufferings. They're his. They belong to him. He took them. He bore them. And because what goes for you goes for him, so he suffered for them. And because he's united to you, he's not ashamed to call you brothers. The letter to the Hebrews quotes Psalm 22, that psalm of the cross where Jesus says, "I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise." And then it goes on, "Since we share in flesh and blood, and Jesus likewise partook of the same things," well, then we're in this together. We're on this road to the cross together. But for as much as we Lutherans boast in the cross and claim that all of our theology is nothing but the cross, we often find ourselves more like the way the letter to the Hebrews describes us, as those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. We fear death. And you know that you fear death because you're afraid of suffering. And you know that you're afraid of suffering because you are afraid when others think lowly of you. And so you make little embellishments, little lies, little helps from AI. You're afraid of not having enough for you or your family, so you play it safe. You risk little for the kingdom and the lost sheep that our Lord is after. You're afraid of rejection. You're afraid of appearing just a bit off or odd or not fitting in. And so you don't tell anyone about Jesus. No stranger will hear from your lips, and you justify it thinking that that belongs to the pulpit. This is fear. This is slavery. And it's this that our Lord, by his death, defeated the one who has the power of death, even the devil, for you, and you are free. But sometimes we need to see an example of what that freedom looks like before we're willing to give it a try ourselves. That's where today's commemoration comes as a great gift of God. Today we hear and celebrate the story of the martyrdom of St. Polycarp. On this day, in the year of our Lord, 155, there was a Roman persecution extending even to Smyrna, culminating with the martyrdom of Polycarp, a disciple of the evangelist St. John and the father in the faith to St. Irenaeus. Allow me to read just a bit of the account, because I think we need to hear his story so that we could see what that freedom actually looks like. "Now, as soon as he had ceased praying, having made mention of all that had at any time come in contact with him, both small and great, illustrious and obscure, as well as the whole Catholic Church throughout the world, the time of Polycarp's departure having now arrived, they set him upon an ass and conducted him into the city, the day being that of the great Sabbath. And the police captain Herod, accompanied by his father Nicetas, both riding in a chariot, met him. And taking him up into the chariot, they seated themselves beside him and endeavored to persuade him, saying, 'What harm is there in saying, Lord Caesar?' And in sacrificing with other ceremonies that were observed on such occasions, and so to make sure of your safety. But he at first gave them no answer. And when they continued to urge him, he said, 'I shall not do as you advise me.' So they, having no hope of persuading him, began to speak bitter words unto him. And they cast him with violence out of the chariot, so much that in getting down from the carriage, he dislocated his leg by the fall. But without being disturbed, and as if suffering nothing, he went eagerly forward with all haste, and was conducted to the stadium, where the tumult was so great that there was no possibility of being heard. Now, as Polycarp was entering into the stadium, there came to him a voice from heaven saying, 'Be strong and show yourself a man, O Polycarp.' No one saw who it was that spoke to him, but those of our brethren who were present there heard the voice. And as he was brought forward, the tumult became so great when they heard that Polycarp was taken. And when he came near, the proconsul asked him whether he was Polycarp. On his confession that he was, the proconsul sought to persuade him to deny Christ, saying, "Have respect to your old age," and other similar things, according to their custom, such as swear by the fortune of Caesar, repent, and say, "Away with the atheists." But Polycarp, gazing with a stern countenance on all the multitude of the wicked heathen, waving his hand towards all them in the stadium, while with groans he looked up to heaven and he said, "Away with the atheists." Then the proconsul, urging him and saying, "Swear and I'll set you at liberty. I'll make you free. Reproach Christ." Polycarp declared, 86 years have I served him, and he never did me any injury. How can I then blaspheme my king and my savior?" And when the proconsul yet again pressed him and said, "Swear by the fortune of Caesar," he answered, "Since you are vainly urgent that as you say I should swear by the fortune of Caesar and pretend not to know who and what I am, hear me declare with boldness, I am a Christian. And if you wish to learn what the doctrines of Christianity are, appoint me a day and you shall hear them." The proconsul then said to him, "I have wild beasts at hand. To these will I cast you unless you repent." But he answered, "Call them then. For we're not accustomed to repent of what is good in order to adopt that which is evil. And it's well for me to be changed from what's evil to that which is righteous." Again, the proconsul said to him, "I will cause you to be consumed with fire, seeing that you despise the wild beasts, if you will not repent." But Polycarp said, "You threaten me with fire which burns for an hour and after a little is extinguished. But you are ignorant of the fire of the coming judgment and of eternal punishment reserved for the ungodly. But why do you tarry? Bring forth what you will." While he spoke these and many other things, he was filled with confidence and joy, and his countenance was full of grace, so that not merely did it not fall as if troubled by the things said to him, but on the contrary, the proconsul was astonished and sent his herald to proclaim in the midst of the stadium thrice, "Polycarp has confessed that he is a Christian." This proclamation having been made by the herald, the whole multitude, both of heathen and Jews who dwelt in Smyrna, cried out with uncontrollable fury in a loud voice, "This is the teacher of Asia, the father of the Christians, and the overthrower of our gods. He who has been teaching many not to sacrifice or to worship the gods." Then it seemed good to them to cry out with one consent that Polycarp should be burnt alive. This then was carried into effect with greater speed than it was spoken, the multitudes immediately gathering together wood and faggots out of the shops and baths, the Jews especially, according to the custom, eagerly assisting them in it. And when the funeral pile was ready, Polycarp, laying aside all his garments and loosing his girdle, sought also to take off his sandals, a thing he was not accustomed to do, inasmuch as every one of the faithful was always eager who should first touch his skin. For on account of his good behavior, he was, even before his martyrdom, adorned with every kind of good. Immediately then they surrounded him with those substances which had been prepared for the funeral pile. But when they were about also to fix him with nails, he said, "Leave me as I am, for he that gives me strength to endure the fire will also enable me, without your securing me by nails, to remain without moving in the pile." They did not nail him then, but simply bound him. And he, placing his hands behind him, and being bound like a distinguished ram, taken out of a great flock for sacrifice, and prepared to be an acceptable burnt offering unto God, looked up to heaven and said, "O Lord God Almighty, the Father of your beloved and blessed Son, Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the knowledge of you, the God of angels and powers and of every creature, and of the whole race of the righteous who live before you, I give you thanks that you have counted me worthy of this day and this hour, that I should have a part in the number of your martyrs, in the cup of your Christ, to the resurrection of eternal life, both of soul and body, through the incorruption imparted by the Holy Ghost, among whom may I be accepted this day before you as a fat and acceptable sacrifice, according as you, the ever truthful God, have foreordained, have revealed beforehand to me, and now fulfill. Wherefore also I praise you for all things. I bless you, I glorify you, along with the everlasting and heavenly Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, with whom, and to you and the Holy Ghost, be glory both now and to all coming ages. Amen. When he had pronounced this amen, and also so finished his prayer, those who were appointed for the purpose kindled the fire. And as the flame blazed forth in great fury, we, to whom it was given to witness it, beheld a great miracle, and have been preserved that we might report to others what then took place. For the fire, shaping itself into the form of an arch, like the sail of a ship when filled with wind, encompassed as by a circle of the body of the martyr. And he appeared within, not with flesh that is burnt, but as bread that is baked, or as gold and silver glowing in a furnace. Moreover, we perceive such a sweet odor coming from the pile as if frankincense or some other precious spices had been smoking there. At length, when those wicked men perceived that his body could not be consumed by the fire, they commanded an executioner to go near and pierce him through with a dagger. And on doing this, there came forth a dove and a great quantity of blood, so that the fire was extinguished. And all the people wondered that there should be such a difference between unbelievers and the elect, of whom this most admirable Polycarp was one, having in our own times been an apostolic and prophetic teacher and bishop of the Catholic Church, which is in Smyrna. For every word that went out of his mouth either has been or shall yet be accomplished. That's what freedom looks like. That's what joy in the midst of suffering looks like. That is Christ as our head, and we as the body, being made perfect together through suffering. So be like Polycarp. Be like Jesus. And pick up your cross and follow him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
God. You led your ancient people through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O God, the maker of heaven and earth, you gave Polycarp boldness to confess Jesus Christ as King and Savior, and steadfastness to die for the faith. Grant us grace to follow his example in sharing the cup of Christ's suffering, so that we may also share in his glorious resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.